to the governor's treasurer and comptroller. My name is Ann Williams, and I sent in my written comments as my personal one, which you've already received. I am a state employee, and I'm not speaking on my building services stuff. Today I'm speaking as the newly elected chairman of the Ken Allen Defense League. We are 14 years old. We were created because of the group called Four Seasons. Ken Allen is an unincorporated town, and as such, we don't get a voice in how we're managed. We feel very strongly that we would love for you to send this back to the drawing board and let public opinion be there. Unfortunately, in that phasing process, you are only talking about phase one. We would love for the plan to be the full thing, so that way everybody could see the full impact. The pipe, the sewer pipe that they want to drive under the wetland and thus potentially destroy wetlands as it might break and cause all sorts of problems, is a 12-inch storm drain pipe that will hold us hostage forever, because they'll say, we already got the pipe, we can put in the houses. And so therefore, the whole plan needs to be reviewed so that we can see whether or not that needs to be done, or maybe a step system with a water pipe that goes through the marsh, or even better, as it has already been suggested, the sewer pipe goes around and not through a marsh. We, the citizens of Ken Island, would like that voice. We hope very much that you could find it to, if not totally deny the project as it stands, but at least send it back and let it have the public view and the people's voice in Queen Anne's County to speak about it. The changes you're talking about have not been seen by the residents of Queen Anne's County. It was at one county commissioner's meeting, but there's been no public meetings. There's been no meeting on Ken Island about this. We haven't seen any of the changes, and we'd most certainly like to be involved in what happens at the park, but that's not been our option. So we ask that you take this down. One last point that I'd like to make, that Queen Anne's County, in all of its wonderful workings with you, currently doesn't have an active sewer plan. Their sewer plan has been not approved in the past couple of years. So that pipe going through is working off of, I think, their 2006 sewer plan. Their 9 and their 10 have all been denied for many reasons, probably most of which are wetlands destruction and overgrowth. And so we would like for you to act and say, we're not going to move until such time as Queen Anne's County's comp plan is understood and followed. This plan would not be accepted under the park comp plan, and then their sewer plan be approved. And again, thanks for the time.
Thank you. Summers, what about that sewer plant stuff? Does that come through you?
Yes, sir. Department of the Environment has to review and approve water and sewer plans. I am not currently up to speed on exactly where the approvals stand in Queen Anne's County, but I do know that we regularly review plans all over the state. I don't know if our county folks have information on that.
And I see Mr. Sakai moving around in the back of the room.
Jay, you have information. Come on up. Jay is our director of the Water Management
Administration. I wasn't sure if he was trying to hide or get better sound.
Thank you, Governor.
With my staff, James Sakai with the Maryland Department of Environment. I can tell you that the county does, in fact, have an approved water and sewer plan. The way this process works is that over a period of time, amendments are submitted that make changes to that plan. In some cases, those amendments are approved by the department. In other cases, we send it back to the county for additional work. You are all familiar, for instance, with the ongoing discussions about sewer down Route 8. That is a good example of a water and sewer plan amendment that has been in discussion for many years. But the fact of the matter is the county does have an approved water and sewer plan.
Okay, thank you. All right, how about Will Baker, followed by Gene Ransom, followed by Suzanne Hogan and Mike Roberts.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Thank you, members of the board. My name is Will Baker. I'm joined by the vice chairman of our board of trustees, Alan Griffith, and by Allison Probst, our Maryland executive director. Now, as I think all of you know, I am not a lawyer, but I do understand that your decision is focused on the wetlands permit. But because we've heard repeatedly today that this decision is integrally tied to the understanding we have for the entire project, I think it's fair to talk about how much, if any, we as a group, you as a board, understand the entire project. I was worried when I came here about transparency. After listening to the last several hours, I am stunned by the lack of transparency. You all talked about a guarantee for a specific parcel in this project, and whether there was or was not a guarantee, but there are no guarantees for anything we've heard describing the entire project. And this would not be so important were it not for the scale and importance of the decision. Just as the Chesapeake Bay is starting to get better, we're talking about putting a development of over 1,000 units into the critical area. It's called the critical area for a reason. It is in an area that is most likely going to be flooded and probably more likely to be flooded as we go forward. We work in six states at the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. Maryland has always been a leader. You all as a board have been fabulous leaders. I don't know of any other state that has a project of this scope and importance and potential damage to the bay or its tributary rivers than this one. The DRRA, the Development Rights and Responsibilities Agreement, has been referenced several times. Here's the quote. One of the quotes, the DRRA is a binding contract. We've heard that the current proposal is going to do something. We have heard that plans will be submitted by the attorney for the developer. We have heard that the current plan for stormwater will need to go through review by the county. There is no certainty as to what this project is going to be. The DRRA, I learned today, was approved in 2002, that binding contract. It is still in play. It still describes 1,300 units. It does not describe any of what you heard today in terms of improvements, which were admittedly impressive. So we have no certainty what this project is going to look like, and yet you are being asked to make a decision based on an understanding of the project. How can you balance your decision against the project when you don't understand, nor is there any guarantee or binding legal agreement as to what the project will be? So for that reason, I urge that you deny the permit as it currently is before you, or at the very least, you defer until there is some certainty as to what this massive project planned for the critical area in an area that will be prone to flooding goes forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Gene Ransom.
Kind of cool, I get to talk at this hearing. Last one I wasn't able to. Good afternoon, thank you for having me. First of all, I'm not speaking for any of the groups I'm involved in, and I didn't run for re-election in 10, so I'm just a citizen and a lifelong resident of Queen Anne's County, and I opposed this project actually before I ran for commissioner in 2002, and I opposed it the whole time I was there, and I still oppose it. It's a really bad project. It's a bad idea for Maryland. It's a bad idea for Queen Anne's County. But unfortunately, the lawyers and the Court of Appeals, and I've carefully read the opinion, kind of limit what you guys can consider. So I'm going to focus on that, because I think that's what really matters. There are four things that Mr. Schaller outlined as improvements to the application that he's claiming says that you guys should approve it. If we're going to follow this, and use all those letters, I didn't really understand, this enhanced stormwater management. We're going to create a park. We're going to reduce the number of units. We're going to remove the bridge. There's a problem. All four of those things are not allowed on the Developer Rights and Responsibilities Agreement that was entered into and is a legal document that is ordained by the State of Maryland and the County Code by the Commission Board prior to mine, the board that sat from 1998 to 2002.
So they are telling us they're going to do things that are not consistent with what's already been approved. And in fairness to your staff, this is a very complex area of zoning law. I don't think they fully comprehend it. And Mr. Dolman was talking about how the removal of the bridge was a major impact. And I think that was something he considered when he told you should approve this. And I heard Mr. Summers talk about how it made him feel, I think he used the term, more comfortable that they were doing this enhanced stormwater management. So they're making recommendations to you based on the belief of these four promises that Mr. Schaller said his Boy Scout oath would allow them to keep. The problem is, the law doesn't allow them to keep those promises currently. And it would seem to me, my preference would be that you send this thing packing into history, given its checkered past and everything that's going on, but I don't think that's going to be as easy as it was last time for you to do. But I do think that if you think that these four things that the developer has provided has made it good enough, where it meets law and you got to vote for it, make them amend the DRA. Don't give them the permit. Make the permit condition on it going back to the county, and you've heard Commissioner Arntz, and three of the five current commissioners on 3-2 vote apparently support it, and you heard Mr. Schaller and the developers say they were willing to do these four things. Well, if all the parties are willing to do it, Mr. Todd said, hey, we can put it in perpetuity. Why not say you can have your permit, but it's conditioned on going back to having the DRA amended by the parties, which will require a public hearing and zoning actions and solve a lot of the problems here when we go through a process. And if Hovnanian is serious about these promises they've made today, they should support what I said. But I suspect they're not serious based on what we heard from the lawyers that Queen Anne's Conservation has provided, and they will oppose what I've said. And I don't know, because I'm doing something you should never do as a lawyer, which is saying things where you don't know the answer to the question.
But look, Mr. Ransom, why do you put the bridge in? I mean, I can see why you'd want to see greater assurances, on the stormwater, on the eco park, and on the scale of the development. And those things aren't.
I don't really care about the bridge, to be honest with you. The bridge comes from the settlement agreement that was signed, and I refused to sign that agreement. Three of the commissioners in my first term did. I did not. The only reason I brought the bridge up is because I was carefully listening to the testimony, and Mr. Dolan said specifically that one of the reasons that this applicant was better was that it removed a major impediment when the bridge was removed. And I'm trying to focus my comments on the permit at hand so you have the ability to actually, if you really want to make this better and you believe these things are important conditions, based on your comments, particularly yours, Mr. Governor, when you're talking about guaranteeing that you should really do this, then it is logical to me that these guarantees should be more than just the Scout's pledge, which I strongly support. I was a Boy Scout. But and again, to make another mistake from the Democratic Board of Ronald Reagan, trust but verify, it seems to me that the developer should be willing to put their money where their mouth is and say, you know what, Mr. Governor, you can issue me the permit contingent on me amending the DRA. And if I'm serious about doing these things, then I'll go back and I'll amend the DRA. And you heard the county commissioners, you heard the president here earlier saying he was willing to do these things. So it sounds to me like you've got two willing parties and you can resolve it if they're all serious. The concern I have, and I've been skeptical about the project the whole time, is I don't believe this company is a good environmental steward. I don't think this is a good idea for Queen Anne's County. I don't think it's a good idea for Maryland. This is all about money. That's what this is all about. And they have no interest in really doing these things. And I think later on down the road, when all of us are going doing other things, making a living, running for other offices, doing other things, they're going to say, you know what, guys? Sorry, the DRA doesn't let us do it. Sorry, we can't do that. We meant to. And I'd also note the original DRA does have language in it that allows the developer to weasel out of the 55 or older. There is an opt-out clause in that language. If you ever read all the original documents on this, and again, without me getting into the checkered past and unrelated items, this is not the prettiest picture. Whenever three commissioners who are thrown out of office for this very project, then the day after the primary, the meeting after the primary, go and sign a DRA that forever seals the fate of Queen Anne's County, it says there's something not right here. This just is troubling. The whole thing is troubling. But obviously, I know you're not going to consider that today. Let's focus on what the developer has presented to you. And they presented four solutions to the problem. And your staff specifically said they like those four solutions. So how do we make those four solutions a reality? And it seems to me the way we do that is by amending the DRA and going through that process. And Mr. Schauer should be jumping up right now saying that's a great idea. But I suspect he isn't. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gene?
Yes.
Why do we need to approve anything?
Why
don't we just say, look, come back to us with the permits at the end of the year, for, you know, this plus amend the thing, and then we'll take this up when it's right.
Yeah. My preference in order would be that you turn this down because it's not right. Yeah, my second preference would be that you send it for a full review. My third preference would be if you are going to approve it, then let's make sure the promises that are being made that are making your staff feel more comfortable, and we heard those terms from your staff that are making your recommendations, let's make sure we keep those promises by making them do something real. But I do think that you're right, Comptroller, you should turn it down. I think that's the right answer, and that's what I would do if I was in your seat. But I understand, I can hear in your voice, Governor, the concern about how we do that legally. I can tell when you're reading the document.
Yeah, Mr. Ransom, tell me this. And the wetlands impact, mm-hmm. which the court unanimously has said we must focus our consideration upon. Do you have any, I mean, are your, what if anything can you offer about the wetlands?
My point on that is that Secretary Summers and Mr. Dolan are telling you that the stormwater management plan, the reduction of these...
That's where the street says no.
Yeah, you too. Joshua Tree. Good album. All right, but back to the wetlands permit. There are four things that your staff and the developer both have said show this as no problem. My argument to you would be that they have to be able to do them. And if the DRRA doesn't allow you to do it, how can you approve it until they're done? And my point to you would be that if they can't do full stormwater management, Mr. Schaller said they're not required to do
that. The wetlands.
But that clearly affects the wetlands, and they're telling you. And
you're saying not to the Echo Park, or instead the park becomes a blacktop.
Right. Particularly, and if those promises can't be done under other legal documents, that affects the wetlands. So you have four things that your staff and the developer are telling you specifically mitigate the problem with the wetland permit. They told you that. Hovnanian has told you that. So the question is, I think, sitting in your role, you have to say, do you really believe that? Do you really think they can do these four things? And the question is, how can they do them if it's not consistent with the DRA?
And really, they can't. And whether each of us individually believe the other individuals on the other side is not, and it really needs to go beyond that, because there are the other individuals, right?
If you don't have the guarantees, how do you vote?
Mr. Comptroller?
I just want to correct the record. I'm not advocating voting no on the permit.
Mm-hmm.
What I suggest is that this be postponed for a consideration by the board until there is either an amendment of the 2002 document that requires a public hearing, you said, or through some other process through getting to the point where they can get a building permit. They, in fact, have had some public input between now and the end of the year when they can get back up here. And that's all I'm suggesting. And in the interim, the board can, I think, arguably defend a position of this is not necessary to do right now. That's, I think, the best way out of this, because I don't want to get into a battle with all of my wonderful friends who wear red robes down the street. And it's a bit of a murky area, but if we simply said we're going to postpone this until the company gets more clarity on its permits and that development agreement, I think that would help.
Well, all four of these things were clearly relied on by your staff based on their testimony today, mm-hmm. and all four of these things were clearly promised by the developer. Mr. Schaller went through them, and I think this board in the state of Maryland needs more than Scott's honor, Scott's pledge to take that. And I think the avenue to do it is to amend the DRA and require a process, or require it in order as a condition of permit being issued. So this is just something that is such a bad idea. I understand you can't necessarily consider all the things related to the bad idea, but you certainly can consider the four things that are being promised to you and relied on by your staff and making sure they really happen. Because the worst thing that could happen is 10 years from now, we're all sitting around looking at a bunch of houses and a mess down there because nothing got done because everybody said the DRA didn't allow us to do it. And we shouldn't have relied on the words. And it's no one's fault. It's one of those things that happens.
And all of those things do affect the
permit.
The permit. I mean, it affects the wetlands. Yeah. Stormwater not really affects it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. The park, the scale.
Could I ask, is the Attorney General's office over?
Attorney General's office, Chippy Harris. Yes.
Just on Gene, on Mr. Ransom's.
Someone stole his jacket.
I'm not counselor.
Yeah, you don't change the jacket.
Doesn't fit very well.
Well,
would adopting the permit item with an amendment that with a condition that the BRRA be amended to fully reflect the assumptions in it, would that fall under the that's something to do?
Can I pause on that? I will get you an answer. Let me go back and come. Can I come back to the podium and with you shortly, or
sure, we have a couple more people.
I know you do. Unless Madam Treasurer, if it's something you it's relevant to the very next thing you're going to do.
Unless the next thing we can do is voting.
as one of my people here from before voting.
But one of my colleagues said I could.
I would like to hear the Attorney General. Yeah. And let me just ask one other very naive question. The item before us is a permit that is predicated on those assumptions, right?
On the stormwater, you mean? And the eco park? And the reduced scale?
Well, not the. Well, I guess, yes, because of the way the stormwater pipe is going, and that's all that's before us. There's no bridge before us. There's no anything else.
There's
so
a fear which we haven't talked about much.
Yeah.
I do know, and this may be, have been the comptroller's suggestion, going back to your question, it certainly would be permissible for the board to defer it until the amendment is made, and that may be, in effect, the same thing and take the same amount of time as a contingent approval.
Well, I mean, I got everyone says this is going to be in court for a while. So.
I think that's right, but I also I think it's important that we reduce the litigation risk as much as possible at this point, and we're all here trying to couple that. But let me. Look into your first question and be prepared to come back.
Okay, thank you. Can we hear from Suzanne Hogan? Followed finally by Mike Roberts.
Good afternoon. Suzanne Hogan, President of Kent Island, Chair of the 2012 ballot committee that successfully fought to keep growth on pace with infrastructure in Queens County. After the same three commissioners who sent you the letter in favor of the Four Seasons wetlands license made significant changes to the way our adequate public facilities ordinance was implemented. We were successful in the campaign to maintain the strength of our APFO, receiving 60% of the citizens' vote on that. I say that because I want you to have a framework for the way that citizens view growth in opposition to the way the majority of our current commissioners feel. And I will add that through that balloting process, I came to the conclusion that our county would be well served if I chose to run for commissioner myself as a Democrat. So I want to thank you all for your immense work on this issue for a number of years. And much of my comments, which were prepared, have to do with sea level rise. Evacuation of seniors, the issues that we already have in terms of getting out of the area and the immense public safety nightmare that would happen in the event that we have this.
We all agree.
And so I will only say that I think that our county was immensely well served for the years by Commissioner Ransom. If we could recruit him again, we would. I found his recommendations to be immensely enlightening, and I hope that you are all able to follow his recommendations. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mike Roberts. Mr. Roberts, did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes.
Okay, because he's only here, it's R-O-B-E-S. Oh. Saint Roberts, when I should have said Roberts.
Yes, it's spelled in the usual way.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I am Mike Roberts. I am a citizen of Kent Island. I've lived there 30 years. Governor, you said, let's talk about the wetlands. Remember what we did? Well, that's what I want to talk about. Kent Island once had lots and lots of very viable wetlands. They have been degraded very badly over the years by development after development on Kent Island. Has a serious impact. Our wetlands today are very fragile.
My guess is that probably agriculture degraded them even before the development. Yeah. There's a lot of silt there and a lot of draining of marshes.
Yes.
For agriculture, right?
Yes. Although I think by far the most serious part of it came from the development since 1952. There's a proposal here to put a sewer pipe under Cox Creek. I wish we had a map of Kent Island so you can see how Cox Creek divides the whole island in two. We've had several sewer pipe breaks and leaks on Kent Island. A break under Cox Creek could produce a tremendous amount of sewage flowing clear down this creek, past lots and lots of wetlands. I'm sure your staff can give you a map showing you how much wetland there is, and Cox Creek is a lot of it. This mini marina, I'm not sure why they need that wetland. There's a marina right there in the middle of this development, at a castle marina. I have heard a lot of testimony here today. The developer failed to give you, Governor, a straight answer. You kept asking, will you make a commitment? You never got a straight answer on that. I would think the lawyer would have come armed with the ability to pull out of his pocket a slip of paper saying, absolutely, we will put an easement, whatever you want to call it, in the issue, but you didn't get that. And we've never gotten anything solid on these commitments. We heard a lot of testimony from state officials. I was very impressed with these officials. They knew what they were talking about. But each of them was talking about their own agency, just what their regulations say. You try to get some of them to give you a bigger picture, and they said, well, we really can't do that. We know our agency. And I'm sitting there thinking, what we need is somebody above that who can put all this together. And then I look up here and I say, we've got it. We've got this board. You're the people who can put it all together. And you can look at the big picture. As with the limitations that the court imposed, and you've got the authority to deny this application, or at least to postpone it, so we can get more facts and more information. And I ask you to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Roberts, let me just say, this board is not the state zoning, planning zoning.
Oh, I know that.
I assure you, if it were, we would have something.
I realize the limitations, but even within those, I think you can find.
So is that the Scottish spelling of Robert?
This is my handwriting, but his request came in late. And yeah. I just wrote it down.
I appreciate the offer.
I appreciate William. I appreciate
Robert.
Robert.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question of someone over here? One of the earlier witnesses mentioned this thing about the Collector Road and the change in the plan because of Collector Road.
Mr. Todd, maybe? Connector
Road.
Connector Road.
Yes, Madam Treasurer, that was the road. If you look at the map, it's the road that connects for the proposed bridge, and then it goes up to Cloverfield and past Cloverfield.
So the fact that it's
the fact that there's not a bridge is, you know, it's connected.
and the disappearance of those has nothing to do with that. That's before us.
Correct.
Can I ask, I had asked earlier, Mr. Moore and our attorney about this question of the location of the sewer line, which would impact.
Oh, well, you can move the
television.
In terms of relocation of the sewer line? I have not been involved in a title case where we've done that. Typically, you know, we count on the local water and sewer authority to where the infrastructure needs to start and stop. But what we do is we tell the applicant how they are going to cross tidal wetlands. In this case, you know, it's a directional drill. If they came back and said, we want to open trenching and cut
the manner in which they're
right, manner of construction.
But not
Not on the tidal side. Again, we have multiple utility crossings under tidal waters, both on water, sewer, and electrical, and internet.
I guess the question also is of MDE. So when you look at, understand, I come from Montgomery County, from the Bethesda Chevy Chase area, where we seem to be having a lot of broken water mains recently. What about that concern?
I would have to call Jason Kai or Gary Setzer up here to see if we looked at that specifically on this project, but we certainly do consider the route for sewer lines in our approval process. But as Mr. Moore indicated, there are a lot of these that by necessity cross streams.
By necessity, and I guess one of them.
Right, and I don't know the answer to whether at this point.
No. Gary,
introduce yourself, please.
Gary Setzer, the program administrator for the Waterways Program. I'd agree with Mr. Moore. Generally, we rely on the alignment that's being proposed by the local government when we review it for the wetlands crossing, and then we look at the manner of the crossing as to whether or not it affects the tidal wetlands.
We're on to the sewer thing.
Yeah, I was just asking about the location of the sewer, pointing out that we're having problems in some of the other older parts of the state, Montgomery, Prince George's.
Baltimore City.
Now, this is new now, but it won't always be new if it's there.
Well, having come from the city, I can tell you that, you know, it's something that we're quite aware of, something I'm quite aware about, this notion of failing infrastructure. I think on balance, the decision to, I think the administrator had mentioned that the decision to move to place a sewer is really dictated by what you have to serve and where you have to get the sewage to. The alignment was dictated, I think, by the location of existing infrastructure. The decision to directionally drill is really a method that is employed to minimize the impact. I think that, you know, this notion of failing infrastructure, the developer, I think the county, would not reasonably expect a sewer to fail. We have many, many, many sewer crossings, water lines, whatever, that go underwater, that go under rivers. Cox Creek itself has a number of infrastructure crossings because that's just, you know, where it's got to go. So
personally think that in Maryland and every other state and union that I know of, one of the real problems is an insufficient inventory of existing underground infrastructure and understanding what the folks, I mean, we didn't know River Road was going to cave in, right? We didn't know Prince George's County was near to being shut down. So there are a lot of lines, there are a lot of crossings, and a lot of things that can happen. I understand that. But the question has been raised of whether
we could avoid it by taking another route altogether. And my only question was whether that question fell under the purview of Mr. Moore or you all, or it was a week. Is that a relevant question?
I can tell you that it was not part of our evaluation either, you know, back in 2007 or now. We looked at the impacts to wetlands, it's pretty much that the notion of a realignment to avoid this impact was not considered.
So if I could just, Raymond, I appreciate everyone's patience and the good faith everybody's shown, but I would really suggest that the board not vote yes or no on this, just defer it to the end of the year, allow the permitting process to move forward and be more finalized. If the developer's agreement can be amended, I think that would be very helpful also, based on testimony. And we, most importantly, can respect the Court of Appeals, even though I happen to think that they're very mistaken in how they pulled out the public interest aspect of that of their decision, but I don't particularly want to get into a wrestling contest with them. I think the best thing is just to defer this, have it come back with no certainty, perhaps have a public hearing. I'm not sure whether Mr. Howard has gotten through to the powers that be, but he indicated, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that might be a way the board can move. And
a public hearing at the council.
Well, I assume the county,
yes,
I assume that the testimony of Mr. Ransom is correct, that when the developer's agreement is has the guarantees that the governor and others have mentioned, put in it, you have to have a public hearing again. And that's all I
The county?
The county and the company.
Sure, the county, and we'll hear from Mr. Shell. JP, did you want to
react to this? Very quickly. The board has very broad discretion to impose conditions. There's a general principle of administrative law, though, that the conditions that would be imposed be within the scope of the board's legal authority. So, to the extent the conditions we're talking about would relate to wetlands impacts, and I would think prospectively, I mean, this is you're looking at a perpetual easement to ensure against, guard against future developments that would impact wetlands. I think that would be, and Mr. Moore, and it's helpful to confer with him in the hall because he's president for a condition of this type. I hope that answers your question.
And the county commissioners indicated they could get the perpetual easement piece of this done in the next few weeks.
And we do have a history of putting conditions on stormwater management. Don't really like to mention the project, but Swan Point down in Charles County went that way, that we put a special condition on because, again, the outfalls were not under the wetlands license, that if there was any new outfalls, the applicant would have to return back to the department with a new application.
How large was that?
It's sad to say it's coming back. It's been almost 6 years.
It's coming back.
That's the most you can give us 6 years.
It's a recovery. Okay, let's hear from Mr. Schaller. Do you want to have some rebuttal time here?
Board, thank you. I'm certainly not here to invoke rebuttal time. Obviously, this is important for all, but just to try to set a few things straight, the DRRA does not need amendment. Mr. Ransom is incorrect. I can't be any plainer than that. This obviously is in a court of law to decide that. The applicant here believes it is satisfied the criteria required under the code, consistent with the Court of Appeals opinion. You have heard from your state agencies and commissions that we've followed the procedure, we've done everything that was asked of us, we shouldn't be penalized for certain people asking for delay. What they are attempting to do, they have challenged this at every avenue. If we were to go back and even consider amending the DRRA, I could almost bet money that there would be an appeal lodged by the opponents. It has happened at every turn. The Court of Appeals even mentioned it in its opinion as to how many times it's been up and down Ralph Boulevard there. This applicant is committed to doing what it says it will do. You've heard it from the county out there. We are happy to work with the board and the county to effectuate the conveyance of the Tanner parcel, which seems to be really what the issue is. The DRRA is not the issue. The opponents want to go back to square one. This state process has afforded them more than ample public comment opportunity. We have gone lesser in scope. So what the applicant would foresee being the appropriate mechanism is allow the county and the applicant to effectuate the transfer of the Tanner parcel. The DRRA has nothing to do with it. Plus, I believe it would run contrary to what the Court of Appeals has said as to what we are supposed to be looking at. You know, I really just try to keep it short and simple out there because you've heard a lot, you've digested a lot. Some of it is acceptable, some of it may not be acceptable. But it really is a matter of this board looking at 16202G, the criteria, and the application before you for 822 square feet of impact going underneath state waters and the 10 slip here. As I said, we're willing to work with the board and the county to figure out how to assure, I believe, and guarantee, I believe, with words, that that property is conveyed to the county. The DRA is a red herring. I don't believe you can touch it. I believe J.B. Howard was correct on that as well.
Can I ask on the this might be an engineering question, and I appreciate all of that, Mr. Shaw. Are there conditions that who regulates Dr. Summers the pipe that is to be the sewage pipe that is to be drilled underneath the Cox Creek?
We regulate that at the Department of Environment. It would have to be built according to standards approved by our engineers with the construction permit.
And those standards are standards that are, I mean, y'all will be mindful. Who issues a construction permit?
That permit comes from the Department of the Environment.
Okay. So you can assess that it be whatever the engineering standards are.
Correct.
Thickness or double reinforcement or all those other great engineering terms that you guys know.
Yes, and there are many more requirements in place today than there were when Baltimore City system was put in place, for example. And we are constantly increasing those requirements, as you may recall from some consent.
Actually, the Prince George's thing was a reflection of the fact that there was an awareness of what was about to happen.
Yeah.
Rather than waiting for a river to run through it.
And the other piece, Governor, is there already is a sewer line running underneath Cox Creek around Route 50 there. Certainly Mr. Summers, Dr. Summers is making his statements out there. And this will actually be owned by the county at some subsequent date, sewer line. In an effort to really try to address the assurance / guarantee, the applicant is willing to accept the condition, this board deems it appropriate to transfer that Tanner parcel with the county. If that's where we're headed, and I don't know. So, we're here to try to create a win-win for everybody within the legal framework that we're allowed to. And maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's it would seem to me that, and I'm just speaking as one member of this board, and certainly not speaking as the Court of Appeals, though I have met several of them. We're focused, you haven't heard from Mr.
Greg, do you want to?
Just a couple questions.
As you were noticing, the treasurer come to you before, and then in the shuttle legal diplomacy, we didn't come back to you.
Yeah, you got to excuse myself.
There are some hanging questions out there.
Sure, Greg Vander, Council to the Board. Just a couple of questions in response to the earlier comments made by the attorneys. First of all, I agree with the AG's office that the remand order does not require a full review, a complete do-over of this of the wetlands of this license application. I think the order is clear on that. I forget his name, but he mentioned that, I think it's Mason Nelson mentioned that the wetlands engineer's report sort of predicted NDE's response to his letter, but we actually had an internal conversation with NDE in connection with the supplemental report, so in no way did his report predict NDE's response to his supplemental report. And just to sort of explain a little bit how we have
got. I have no idea what you just said.
I'm sorry, am I talking too fast? Sorry about that.
I think we're all just getting a little punchy.
Yeah, I thought so earlier on,
one
of the attorneys mentioned that the Wetlands Administrator's report predicted that NDE would reaffirm its earlier approval of the project because that statement was made if the administrator's report came out before NDE's comments to the administrator's report. So the assertion being that it was stuck in there without any consultation with NDE, but that is not the case. We did have the consultation with NDE, and NDE is aware that we would put that language in to the administrative report. That's it. Again, my earlier comment to Mr. Comptroller, I talked too fast on that point, is that I agree with the AG's office that the remand order does not require a full review of this of license. In other words, have it returned back to NDE.
Okay. Well, here's our
Greg, thank you, Mr. Feather.
Thanks very, very much. Here's a as I listen to the testimony here, and everybody's been very, very patient in this long day of the Board of Public Works. It was a long day, not unlike the other two or three long days we've had on this semester back in 2007 and a lot of other long days in between. Focusing in on the wetlands impact and our responsibility with the guidance of the Court of Appeals to make a decision on the wetlands impact here. I think the point that was made by one of the attorneys, I believe it was Mr. Saunders, who testified that there's a guidance, and Mr. Better reviewed that Comar thing too. It's guidance, it's not mandatory, but it seems to be common sense guidance that the other permit process be as fully completed. We don't always do that. Sometimes we have done conditional things, but that there's some wisdom in that guidance that the county permit process and those things be concluded so that we can make a proper evaluation as a board as to what the wetlands impact will be. And I think that requires some greater assurance than promise, even if it's on the record by reputable people who have testified heretofore. And so it would seem to me that the one that everybody is absolutely in agreement on is that there should be some greater assurance, like a perpetual easement concluded between the county and the developer, so that in fact, as this project, the footprint is reduced and the 131-acre ecological park is created, that's in perpetuity and doesn't end up, despite good intentions now, perhaps, being a bait and switch to different functionaries, engage in that down the road and say, oh, health fellows, on second thought, we'd like to do houses here instead. Or that it wouldn't become a blacktop playground. Or that it wouldn't become something that otherwise would damage the wetlands around it. So I do think that we need some greater assurance of that of that eco park being something that's safeguarded in perpetuity, so you can make an intelligent decision about that impact on the wetlands.
Could I just say on that that it's not simply a question of conveying it to the county?
That it's a question of conveying it in perpetuity.
And that it be kept, as you described, in perpetuity by everyone.
And not turned
including
into
future county
governments. Right. And related to that, there have been promises made about stormwater and how the stormwater design will go into this. I would think that could be something that could be concluded by the county and should be concluded by the county before we can properly make a decision on this. And I suppose third and related to all of that is the scale of this development. I appreciate what's been offered here about the density and the scale not being shifted from one side to the other side of this footprint. But there should be some way of giving us some greater assurance that that wouldn't happen subsequent to the issuance of this wetlands permit, given the fact that shifting all of that density on the other side could very well impact the health of the wetlands. So those are the issues as I see it, and I'm sure the other board members want to be heard. I'm not sure exactly where all of this will put us. I would think that perhaps deferring this or continuing this to the next meeting, which comes up on the 4 weeks from now, we give some ample time for the county and the developer and the lawyers to figure out better assurances for this board. Madam Chair, Commissioner Controller, thoughts?
I think it's a very appropriate move, and it keeps us out of conflict with my favorite court down the road, and I think it's the right way to go. I want to particularly thank everyone that's testified on both sides today. I thought Mr. Baker really hit all of the nails on the head, and I would also ask whether or not the Developers Act is relevant or not. Could there be some guarantees that tighten that up if, in fact, anything Mr. Ransom said was applicable? And I also think there should be a public hearing plan. There's nothing wrong with having a spirited hearing where a bunch of people come out and say, you know, I really don't like this, because what happens is that it's not just the ego part, but there are other weaknesses that get identified that can be firmed up. And so when this moves forward, it has more protections in it. And I would feel comfortable there. I'm actually very pleased that the governor chose this route, because we don't have to be thumbs up or thumbs down. We can wait and see what the process brings us, and I think that's an appropriate step. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Treasurer.
No, I think that's a reasonable way to go. I don't know about amending the DRRA. What I think is most important is to get assurances, long-term assurances, that outlive all the folks in this room, that this development will go as all the assumptions have been here regarding the things the governor mentioned and the some of the green building that's been proposed. I think this. I just want to say what I said to the applicants. I think this seems like a very good proposal. I think it's a very attractive proposal. I think it's absolutely in the wrong place. But that's a question for the local plan. I would not have supported that plan, but that's not the role of the Board of Public Works. And I do appreciate the fact, by the way, that it hasn't been mentioned, because it's not relevant to this item, except it's been referred to often enough, that there were steps taken that maybe we could tie down also that are to adapt or mitigate the impact of sea level rise and the storm surge, such as the 2-foot freeboarding and the hardening of some aspects of the plant. I don't think they go as far as not building it at all, but really recognition of the changes that we understand about sea level rise and storm surge and the impact on Maryland and climate change that we didn't fully comprehend even 6 years ago when we saw this last year.
And that could also be an item for General Assembly.
Governor, I really think this whole episode, to me personally, points to the need for the General Assembly and the governor to get together and look again, even though I know no one is dying to, but look at some of these questions of land use planning, zoning, development. There are state infrastructure issues such as the capacity of the Bay Bridge that that impact all of the local decisions, and there's got to be a new way to address them and to protect the health and safety of our citizens in the state.
Could I just ask a question, Governor? My head really hurts right now with all of the reams and reams of testimony and information. I'm not an expert on all of the particulars. So I'm just wondering if there isn't some way to suggest to everybody as they get together that if they don't want to come back in a month, come back in 2 months or 3 months with something that is set that we can, you know, have leverage against and either vote yes or no. And I'd hate to think a month from now we're going to be back groping for a way forward. I would much rather say give them more than a month, give them several months to figure it out, come back and say this is what we want you to vote for, including all the wetlands, and we can vote.
Absolutely. If you need more time to conclude those guarantees, glad to give you more time.
Because here's my problem. I don't know that we have all the issues that have been raised. Because I'm not an expert on this. Some have come up today, the eco park, the developers agreement, which may or may not be. All I'm saying is flesh it out and figure out every possible angle and then put something in front of us that we can vote yes or no. Please.
Okay. So this matter is continued until the next meeting in 4 weeks.
We do have the Queen's Landing Marina returning on August 21st. We had that last meeting, July 3rd, and you asked for that to be thoroughly vetted and notified and all. And so that's coming back on August 21st, Queen's Landing Community Marina. I just want to point that out if you want this one back as well. Or
And the General Assembly needs to and then the equipment stuff for the inundation and the public safety aspects.
We will mark this as deferred and we will get back with your staff.
Okay, thank you all. This concludes our meeting.